stand to defend the cause of the fatherless. What do we do?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated from attics in areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years and practiced in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, but we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain. Arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand. We need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in just a moment is going to be John Ramos. We're just so honored that you've joined us. We like to come to you every day around 5 o'clock on the Gulf Coast and talk about the events of the day. And kind of getting a light perspective. You know, it's not enough to know the news. We need to know about the news that we know. And we're looking at some amazing events that are taking place in the world today. And I think it's so important for us to always remember that nothing is until it is. And we have this tendency inside of our human nature, just once we're in it, we always act like or respond to like, this is how it's always been. But it's really not. I mean, if you look at it, just in the last 7 years, America has been fundamentally transformed. It is totally different viewpoints, and the cases that are coming before the Supreme Court, the things that judges are doing, the things that, you know, Christians are doing, the things that leaders are doing, things their schools are doing. It's amazing. It's just total transformation. But you know what? God never changes. And I'm looking at, and I want to be able to talk about today with several things. One is, you know, that God is creating and drawing people to himself. And we're beginning to see a movement for those who were born Muslim to begin to come to the Lord. God is opening the eyes of the Muslim and helping them see his love, his kindness, and that he sent his son. And we'll be talking a lady from Sweden in just a moment. But we're also going to be talking about today, you know, that we're hearing an amazing statement made by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton just this last weekend, that she talks about the deep-seated religious beliefs of America need to be changed. And I was like, you know, first of all, the very fact the word religion means it's something that God doesn't change, and that you can't change those things. But we'll be talking about that, and also remembering that that's exactly what, you know, President Obama was saying when he was running originally for office, was that, you know, America is no longer a Christian nation. In other words, our faith has changed, and you know, and it really has it. We just have to begin to awaken ourselves, and I believe that God's given us a challenge and just saying, you know, which way do you want to go? We're given a choice. You know, who's going to be our God? We're like at the top of Mount Carmel, and God is using a prophet like Elijah to be able to bring us to that point of decision. And quite often, the enemy, you know, defeats our mentality by thinking we've already messed up already. You know, God's just going to write us off, and that's not who God is. I mean, God will whisper at a prideful man in his deep sleep, as Job talks about in Job 33, to be able to hopefully get this man or woman to repent before they enter into total separation, hell, with his weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I mean, he wants you. He wants America. But the thing, we have to make that kind of decision. Well, when you look at what's taking place with the Muslims and the revival and the Muslims that are turning to Christ, I don't think anybody explains it any better than Mona Walters from Sweden. You've got to see this. Take a look.
This woman is on a mission. She's not a Muslim, and her Muslim dress is a disguise. Her mission is for Muslims to know what is in the Quran, because she says if more Muslims knew what was in the Quran, more would leave Islam. Mona Walter came to Sweden from Somalia as a war refugee when she was 19. She says she was excited about joining a modern European nation with equal rights for women. But as a young Muslim woman, that was not the Sweden she encountered. In fact, she says it was in Sweden where she first experienced radical Islam on a daily basis.
I discovered Islam here in Sweden. In Somalia, you're just a Muslim. You're just born into Muslim country without knowing the Quran. But when you come to Sweden, then you go to mosque and there is a Quran. So you have to cover yourself, you have to be a good Muslim.
Walter says she grew up in Somalia never having read the Quran.
So I didn't understand what I was part of. I didn't know who Muhammad was. I didn't know who Allah was. So when I found out, I was upset. I was sad and I was disappointed.
She says she discovered that Allah is a God who hates and that Islam is not a religion of peace.
It's about hating and killing those who disagree with Islam. It's about conquering. Muhammad, he was immoral. He was a bloodthirsty man. He was a terrible man. And they can read that in his biography, what he did to Jews, how he raped women, how he killed people. I mean, he killed everyone who didn't agree with him.
Discouraged, she left Islam and became an atheist. Until one day, a family relative encouraged her to read the Bible. She still remembers the first time she read Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Where Jesus said to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
It was very strange for me, love your enemy, because in Islam you have to kill your enemy. Kill your enemy and kill everyone who refuses Islam. But Jesus Christ, it was all about love and peace and forgiveness and tolerance. And for some reason I needed that.
She went to see Pastor Fouad Rasho, a Syrian immigrant who ministers to former Muslims in Sweden.
She started to believe, and she came to me. That was the beginning of her trusting.
I was so happy. I was filled with joy. Then I accepted Jesus Christ.
Mona says the Lord gave her a burden for Muslims who still do not know the truth about Islam, and she began to copy verses from the Quran and hand them out on the street to Muslim women.
Sometimes they listen, sometimes they become very upset, and I just told that, you know, that your husband, he have a right to beat you if you don't obey him. And say, no, it does not say that. Yes, it says that. I thought that if I tell them about Muhammad and about the Quran and this God of Islam who hates, who kill, who discriminates women, maybe they will have a choice and leave.
But in politically correct Sweden, Mona Walter has come under attack for simply telling Muslims what is in the Quran.
And I've been called Islamophobe and, yeah, you've been bought, you're a house nigger and stuff like that, terrible things.
She has also been called a racist, Walter warns that Islamic radicalism is a serious threat in Sweden and says Swedish society should care more about women trapped in Islam.
They will think like, oh, we're in Sweden, we have a freedom of religion. But Muslim women don't have a freedom of religion. They live under the law of Allah, not under Swedish law. So they will suppose everyone have a freedom of religion. We don't have freedom of religion. It's not for Muslim women. It's for everyone else.
She lives under death threats and sometimes travels with police protection. She wanted to show us Muslim areas around Gothenburg, but had to first dress as a Muslim. She believes if she were to show her face, she would be attacked.
I never go to those areas just to be me, just to be in flesh and blood, Mona. I never get out of there alive. I mean, Muslims are normally good people, like everyone else. But when they read Quran, then they become a killing machine. This so-called ISIS or Al-Shabaab or Boko Haram, they're not extremists. They're not fanatical, or they're just a good Muslim. Good Muslim who follow the teachings of Islam, the Prophet Muhammad. He did that. They're doing just what he did.
Walter now uses videos and speaking appearances to spread her message. And she says she won't stop, even though her life is in danger. Dale Hurd, CBN News, in Gothenburg, Sweden.
Wow, this is powerful. And, you know, we can be so narcissistic that we totally miss, you know, as Americans, focused on ourselves, that God loves, you know, the Muslim people, and he wants them to know him. He wants them to know him. And we're seeing this great harvest of Muslims who are, they're just being born into a Muslim nation, and they're saying, you're a Muslim. And that's why you're seeing these statistics saying there's a large number of Muslims, because, you know, whether you are born into it, whether you convert to it, or whether you're forced into it, they consider all those, you know, as Muslims. But and similar to Christianity, where you're seeing a lot of Christians in America not read the Bible, it appears not many Muslims are reading the Quran. Yeah. But when you read the Quran, and we have Islam 101 on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com, where you got the Bible and the Quran, just a couple scriptures, not a lot. So you can see the antithesis. It's the opposite of the Word of God. It's the opposite where, you know, just as plain as day, that you know, Jesus to the Quran is not the Son of God. He has to come back according to the Quran and repent for calling himself the Son of God, and he will serve, you know, Islam's God. And that alone, do you need to know anything else? That's anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God religion in the context of that. So it's not, you know, up and down can't come together. And that's just how it is. You know, you make the choice when you actually choose to follow an anti-Jesus Christ religion.
It's interesting that she says that Boko Haram, you know, ISIS, they're not fanatical.
Can you say it again?
It's just interesting how she says that Boko Haram, you know, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, they're not fanatical. They're just being good Muslims.
Yeah, and that Boko Haram actually means do not learn anything from the West, something like
wow.
that. It actually means don't learn the teachings of the West,
yeah,
which is
Yeah, she said
Christian.
Al-Shabaab too, but
yeah.
They're not being fanatical. They're just being good Muslims. They're doing what Muhammad
right.
did.
Right, and that's what we've been saying, you know, all along in regards to, you know, how this is. This is John Ramos joining me today, and that I'm so glad we're having this conversation. Mm. It's an exciting thing. So think about this, that Muslims are finding out who Jesus is. They're finding out who Muhammad is, and they're coming to get saved, and they're giving their lives to the Lord. And she is an evangelist for truth. She's willing to print scriptures and print writings in the Quran and hand them out to educate people who profess to be Muslims who aren't reading the Quran. What are we doing?
Right.
You know, and that's our sister, by the way, in the Lord. That's our sister in Christ in Sweden. And that's, before we go to break, I want to be able to hear this again, you know, 508. Listen to what she says, somebody who grew up and was born into Islam and saw it for what it is, but now she is a Christian. Listen to what she says about it.
So I didn't understand what I was part of. I didn't know who Muhammad was. I didn't know who Allah was. So when I found out, I was upset. I was sad and I was disappointed.
She says she discovered that Allah is a God who hates and that Islam is not a religion of peace.
It's about hating. and killing those who disagree with Islam. It's about conquering. Muhammad, he was immoral. He was a bloodthirsty man. He was a terrible man. And they can read that in his biography, what he did to Jews, how he raped women, how he killed people. I mean, he killed everyone who didn't agree with him.
This is so exciting because you're seeing, understand that you know, no matter what people are, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you're all in the same category in regards to outside of unless you're Jewish, you know, in regards to how God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in following the Torah. But understand this, that everybody has to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. I mean, we all have to do that. And how are they going to know unless someone tells them? How is someone going to tell them unless someone is sent? And all these Muslims who are running for their life because they're, quote, not Muslim enough, they're being persecuted by radical Islam, for example, that we've been showing on our program, it's time for us to welcome them the way the church in Italy was welcoming them. We showed them coming over the Mediterranean, I believe it was, and they were coming into Italy, and the church was there to give them flowers, food, clothes, and to be able to witness into their life. You know, if we didn't go to the mission field, it's like the mission field's coming to us. We've got to get excited and tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the scripture and let them see, you know, who Muhammad is. Let them read the Quran and find out and compare the two and find out that they expect Quran and their God, which is no God at all, expects you to die for him, but our God died for us. He gave his son, his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place so that we wouldn't have to. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we enter into the family of God. That's how loving and kind our God is. And Mona found out about him. And if you hadn't yet found out about him, we shared our testimonies how we met Father God through his son, Jesus Christ, at meetmyfather.org. You can find out about how we met him, meetmyfather.org. And maybe today would be the day that you would make a decision like Mona made. You know, maybe you are Islamic. Maybe you're a Muslim and you're feeling like her as well. And you're thinking, you know, I think I'm going to read this thing. People have been just telling me and forcing me and very religious around me, but I want to find out what the Quran says. I want to find out what the Bible says, and I want to know this Jesus. And what I heard, you know, Kamal Saleem mm-hmm. cry out to God because he came to America specifically to as a radical jihadist wanting to, quote, get his inheritance, to take the infidel down. But he found Jesus and got saved. He prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because he prayed first to Muhammad and no one answered. But when he prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God answered him. And now he is a soldier for Jesus Christ, filled with the love of God. And maybe that can be you too. Find out more by going to meetmyfather.org. We'll be right back in a moment talking about what is former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talking about when she says specifically, deep-seated religious beliefs have to be changed in America. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can you be let go from a job for speaking about God or your religious beliefs? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I had a situation where I was basically let go from my job for speaking about God.
Let me ask you a question. Was this a conversation with fellow employees?
It was a conversation after overhearing a conversation with me on the phone.
The rule is, if it's not disruptive to the workplace, God's not an off-limit topic. Some employers think that it is, but it's not. And so oftentimes it's an overreaction. There's Bible studies in workplaces going on. But the key is whether it was causing disruption in the workplace or interfering with your job. If it doesn't do that, you really don't have any legal problem. But if it was interfering with the job, that's where the issue becomes more of a basis upon which termination could be made. So here's what we need to do. I need to get in touch with our legal department here at the ACLJ. We'll do that right away.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I am trying to figure out what in the world is going on. You know, John, welcome to the program here.
Good to be here.
When you want to run for the President of the United States of America, right? You want to be for America. And one of the things you swear when you come in is that you would protect and defend the Constitution of America, yes. right? And, you know, one of our first constitutional amendment rights is, you know, the right to for religious expression
sure.
in the government. I mean, if you're planning, if you're actually wanting to be the head of the government, the first thing that you don't say is, I'm going to do away with the rights of the people, because I'm supposed to you got to hear this, because this just kind of shocked me when it was brought to my attention that when Hillary Clinton, she is speaking in America right now, but she said very specifically that that we got to be able to change this deep-seated religious beliefs have to be changed in America. And listen to this, and let's just talk about this, because what does that really mean?
Hmm.
You know, being Christians, you know, and you got to take a look at this. I don't want to talk about this.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
What does the First Amendment of the Constitution say, John?
First Amendment of the Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free speech exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances.
Let's play that again. Let's hear this again, and let's gotta get this in our head. It takes us a while to kind of like
grasp
this.
First Amendment Constitution.
Right. Okay.
Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion.
And the executive branch would be the president, is to enforce the
yes.
laws that the Congress passed. And the Congress passed this law, the First Amendment.
Sure.
So then, whoever's the president would say, you know, make sure that you don't change the religious beliefs. Let's watch one more time and see if we heard this correctly and see. Let's hear this again. Maybe we're not hearing this correctly.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
Well, you know, I agree with cultural codes and biases, definitely.
For sure.
But it sounds like there's pretty much bias against
religion beliefs, yeah.
Right. And so then the First Amendment specifically tells, so the executive, the president, whoever the president is, they
highest
actually...
Highest office in the land.
And they're the ones that execute the laws that the Congress passes. And so that's why it says Congress shall make no laws, because the executive branch or the president makes no laws. It's actually the congressional part
right.
of legislature that makes those laws. And so then... this is important because religious persecution is taking place in the world. It's like this Christian Holocaust is taking place. And now someone who is, you know, currently, you know, our president, you know, he said very specifically, you know, that America is no longer a Christian nation. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. At least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, and a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers.
Well, you know, America always has been a diverse people, but we are a Christian nation. So let's go back and hear this other person, what Hillary Clinton said just this weekend. It kind of sounds the same, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Let's watch this one more time.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
Okay, I'm sorry. One more time. This is just one more time. We got to get this because it's like we don't hear it, right?
Yeah.
Let's hear it one more time.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
Okay, let's go to President Obama again. What did he say?
Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation, at least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, and a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers.
Okay. Okay, one more time. Let's hear what Hillary Clinton just said this weekend.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
You'd almost think they were mentored by the same person. You would think that they have a same goal going on. As a matter of fact, if you go back, if you read the book, Rules for Radicals, it was written by a particular man. You can see it here on your screen. Rules for Radicals, it was written by a particular man. That's the back cover, but there's actually a front cover that says, you know, Rules for Radicals. That this Saul Alinsky particular man, reports are that he mentored Hillary Clinton, and he mentored Barack Obama back when he was not a senator or a president. And if you read the book, if you look on the back cover of the book, you can see where they specifically say right here on the back cover of the book, you're looking at it on the screen right here now, I guess, and it says right there, I think it's a Chicago
Tribune, I believe.
Chicago Tribune or Chicago Sun-Times. It says, Alinsky's techniques and teachings influenced generations of community and labor organizers, including the church-based group hired a young Barack Obama to what?
Work on Chicago's South Side in the 1980s. Alinsky's impressed a young Hillary Clinton who was growing up in Park Ridge.
So I happen to have Hillary Clinton's term paper that she wrote for her graduate, her thesis. And first of all, I have a letter here. This is a nice little letter, allegedly, that she had written in, I don't have my glasses, here we go.
There you go.
Man, letters are getting smaller. June 13th, 1971. It is written, letter was written to Dear Saul.
Interesting.
July 8th, 1971. When is your new book coming out? it's to Berkeley. It's at Berkeley. Excuse me. Go figure. When is your new book coming out, or has it come out already, or somehow did I miss the fulfillment of the revelation?
Wow.
Question mark. I have just had my 1,000th conversation with my rivals, and she's just carrying on. She says, "Hey, I want to get up with you and have those conversations that we have. Here's my phone number. You can reach me here." She wrote it there as FDR's stamp on the front of it right there. It was written, the return address was Hillary Rodham Clinton, 2667 Derby number 2, Berkeley, California, 94709. And it's written to Mr. Saul Alinsky, care of the Industrial Area Foundation, Chicago, Illinois. And I thought it was pretty interesting because, you know, you're looking at, you know, why are they sounding so much alike? Mm-hmm. And what we're told in Revelation chapter 2 is that whoever's teachings we follow, that's whose child we are. And so when we get back from this break, we're going to look at a couple things that the reason why this book from the Chicago Sun-Times talks about it as well, which, by the way, if you could look at the inside cover of this book, you got to see who Saul Alinsky, who she's writing to, dedicated it to. Take a look at this, and we're going to go to break. They dedicated this book, who used these same techniques, to Lucifer, because he actually organized, a third of the angels against God in the presence of God. We need to wake up. This is some amazing things that are taking place in our presence. More, we'll get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We And we want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. But, and he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing, and that's saying, well, do this, do this, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's a multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. We're just looking at, you know, what's going on and how, you know, why is President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton so much alike? And we're finding out they were mentored by the very same mentor, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, back cover of Rules for Radicals, written by Saul Alinsky. And I believe he even taught it for 4 years, taught the principles, you know, allegedly. But this letter that Hillary Clinton wrote in July the 8th, 1971, allegedly, you know, it says, Dear Saul, so they were pretty close because he mentored her. You know, when is this new book coming out, or has it come out, and I somehow missed the fulfillment of the revelation, right? Mm-hmm. So the office writes back. Here's the office writing back for her letter on July 13th, 1971. Miss Hillary Rodham, has her address on there. It says, Mrs. Rodham, your July the 8th letter to Mr. Alinsky arrived, and I want to make sure, goes on to say, that we didn't miss you because we know what your relationship is to him. But just to let you know, it's saying, here's the quote, Rules for Radicals is coming out. Rules for Radicals is coming out, published officially on May the 14th, 1971 by Random House. And it goes on, and the letter is signed by Mrs. Georgia Harper, secretary for Mr. Alinsky.
Wow.
And so, you know, they just, you know, everybody has their mentors. That just happens to be, you know, one of her mentors there. And I thought what was pretty interesting too, John, is, and I knew nothing about this until I heard Marshall Gantz, you know, talk about it when he was being interviewed on the Bill Moyer show. And I thought, well, that sounds pretty interesting. I want to kind of get that book and see what it's about. And when I looked in the inside cover of this book, who it was dedicated to, which you can see again, I was shocked because, they wanted to give a big shout out. I don't know if you can see it right here. There it is. Yeah, that you can give a big shout out to the person who used these techniques basically first and got his own kingdom, and Lucifer. And here this letter is, allegedly, that she had written to Saul. Saul's secretary is writing back saying, hey, the book's coming out this way. And you think, well, that's just coincidence. But then I realized that I have, you know, allegedly the term paper that Hillary Clinton wrote for her thesis to be able to graduate from college. And
wow.
John, guess what she wrote it on?
What'd she write it?
She wrote it on Saul Alinsky, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And some of the chapters of her paper, these reports are right here, are
Saul David Alinsky, an American radical, the Alinsky methods of organizing, and three case study. And it goes about three different cases that are studied. So she actually wrote her thesis to be able to graduate, you know, from her university, her college, which was sealed for years, but it came out, you know, several years back now. And you read it, and that's just her viewpoint. That's just her viewpoint. Maybe it's also President Barack's viewpoint, and everybody has a right to, this is America, you have a right to your view. But when it contradicts the Constitution of the United States, and when it contradicts a Judeo-Christian nation, you know, that if you want to change the deep-seated beliefs, sure, religious beliefs of America, that you want to declare that America is no longer a Christian nation, I mean, that is truly fundamentally transforming our nation if we don't wake up. And so what I found, what it looks like in this whole just glancing over these things, as that they're sister and brother. When you look at President Barack Obama and you look at Hillary Clinton, that they're in the context of, they both had the same mentor. They were raised under the same mentor, Saul Alinsky, who wrote the book, who Hillary Clinton talked about, has the book came out yet, have a written letter asking for the book, called The Revelation.
I was just going to say that. She referred to the book as The Revelation. Basically, what's the premise of the book? As I understand the book, it's about tools, rules, strategies to try to influence society. But obviously, it's not using the Constitution, but there are all these different rules that are listed in this
book. Well, it's bottom up. I mean, it boils down to who's God. And, you know, we got really this wonderful democracy in America, but the truth is, you know, God doesn't run a democracy. And the reason why our founding fathers, you know, came to America, they did not want government and religion mixed. They wanted government to make no laws concerning religion. In other words, you know, step away from our beliefs, step away from our deep-seated religious beliefs. Right. And you do your thing, we'll do our thing, but you cannot make any laws concerning what we do here. And that was the whole purpose of it. It wasn't, separation of church and state, you know, was not to keep the church or Christians, keep religious people out of government. It was to keep government out of religious people's lives. You know, the word religion has been switched to church. We're talking about these particular issues. We don't need to say, you know, separation of church and state. We need to say, it's a separation of government and religion, and it was to separate government out of religion, not religion out of government.
Right.
Because you walk with your deep-seated religious beliefs. Who God is, sure, the most important thing that, you know, you will ever have in your life. You know, because what you think about God will determine your destiny. And so we, in that, you know, the Lord just laid on my heart as we were walking through it. We have an entire series dedicated to this, and you got to hear it. This is what we're going through right now. The whole world is being organized with, you know, these kind of tactics, but they're tactics just like Saul Alinsky wrote that Lucifer used. So it's nothing new, but it's interesting. The book reveals who's openly using it, and who it was dedicated to. And it's not something technical either, because even a child does this. I mean, sure, Everybody knows when you're trying to get your way as a kid, you know, the kid's going to use all these tactics, the bully tactics and all these, sure, different things go on to cause people to finally give in to get their way.
It's all about getting their way.
Yeah, but this is like, they're talking, they're organizing, they're using Luciferic tactics, Lucifer's tactics, but like Lucifer, like acid, you mix Lucifer and acid together, they're pouring Luciferic acid over the face of the earth right now. And you think, well, how could they do that? Well, think about Satan. You know, Satan was thrown out of heaven. He was thrown down into this atmosphere, and this heaven is down here. And when he told Jesus, he said, when he was being tempted in the wilderness, he said, you know, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And he said to Jesus, he said, after Jesus said, you know, worship Lord thy God, him only, you know, that's what it's written. He says, listen, these things have been given to me, and I can give them to you. When Adam fell in the garden, he surrendered the authority of what was happening on earth. And so we have to take it back in Jesus Christ, which means there can be people who partner with darkness. They partner with Lucifer because they get power, they get kingdoms, they get money, they get control. And we're seeing people, you know, allegedly like George Soros and these people who are world players. I mean, they're, you know.
Well, didn't this movement start out with people on the inside trying to influence those in government And then now it's kind of turned to, they found out that they could probably just be inside and kind of control things. And
yeah, I mean, that was a big, I understand that was kind of a big debate they had between the concepts of, you know, you have to be on the inside or be on the outside. But, you know, Lucifer just wants chains. So
That's it by any means.
And so, but as Christians, you know, and we're not talking about the world. You know, the world does whatever the world does. And God has not put it in our place to judge the world. That's not what we're called to do. But we are called to judge ourselves and the church, like where are we at and what we're doing. And so as Christians, we're not supposed to. We have something coming out soon about how does God feel about organized labor, you know. And he has a very strong opinion about how, you know, bottom-up leadership. And he's all about top-down. And even if it's Nebuchadnezzar at the top, that, you know, God is all about, you know, authority that he's established. And so Rules for Radicals is about how can you push authority? You know, how can teenagers make their parents do what they want them to do? How can a wife, for example, force her husband without saying anything to get him to do something that he doesn't want to do that he wouldn't do? How could an organizer, you know, organize people in the community to force an elected government by the people to do what they want them to do? And so all of a sudden you have somebody that you put into office not doing things the way they said they would do when you put them in office, because somebody organized people who didn't even vote, who didn't even get involved in the process, to force the government to do something that is not what they said they're going to do. That's why you're looking at contradictions in the context of these kind of tactics. And so the series is a very important series of talking about each of these rules. There's like 13 rules. And so we need to have a light perspective to the dark perspective. So if there is a particular rule, if there's a particular rule that that the enemy is using and people who are children of darkness are using, we think about that. Don't just go, oh, that's a bad thing. We got to find out what the light response is. What is the right response to that? Because if we respond to darkness, as Dr. King says, that it won't work. You know, darkness can't drive out darkness. Only light could do that. So what is the light response? And so in this series, you know, the organizers of the day versus organizers of the night, I mean, God reveals it to us as we're talking this thing out, how are we supposed to respond to these things? You know, how do we respond to being organized? How do we respond to, you know, people trying to stir up a militant? You know, one of the rules are you have to have a militant, agitated force, basically, that's constantly going and pushing, because it keeps people stirred up, keeps them divided, and then if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. I mean, all these things are in, these are this basic, this is, she said, this is the letter what she wrote, you know, allegedly she wrote was, you know, when is the revelation coming out? That was the book, The Revelation. And so they write back, you know, the secretary allegedly writes back to her, and I got these two letters that says, oh, it'll be out, you know, on May the whatever it said. And it's like, so this book is pretty relevant, and there's a reason, it appears, that is dedicated to both of them. And so we're asking, this is the thing, do we really want our deep-seated religious beliefs to be changed, or do we want to stand up for God? This is a decision. We're being brought to the point of decision. More when we get back for the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a Southern way of doing things.
That's a Southern saying. That's what
saying.
You do.
Oh, saying.
Shoo.
Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah. My mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, I said it to obviously. Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Chris's
ribs,
actually.
He's from Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. And apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste like?
It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really? Is
it, does it you probably couldn't. You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Oh, wasabi.
Oh. Wasabi.
Whoa. I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire. Right?
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I know one of these segments that you hear during our breaks, so they'll be able to talk about our sponsors. Make sure you catch us on VFN Radio. We love doing our radio program as well. What you're seeing take place right now, and what we're talking about is persecution. And you're looking at the scenes being set up for greater persecution. When you see James Foley's head cut off before the entire world, you see our president walk to the microphones from Martha's Vineyard, I believe it was, you know, for a few moments and acknowledge what happened and then go back and play golf the same day. Not, you know, it's like the value of life is lost. But you have to understand, you know, part of the campaign for many, many years now, for even Hillary Clinton has been, you know, that she talked about it in that clip. We didn't have that clip about, you know, ending the life of your child in the womb. That's been one of her things, and you'll hear her talk more about that probably in the future. So the value of life, whether it's James Foley, a journalist reports are that we have everything available for you on the torch, but he cared so much about injustice that he was willing to go there and teach the people in the region that he was in about how to be journalists themselves, how to report the truth themselves. Think about that. Willing to go and be that, you know, First Amendment that we have here to teach them about the freedom of the press and that type of thing. And it's just such a tragedy. And then you're looking at, you know, changing the fund. Once you change the beliefs, the Christian beliefs, the Judeo-Christian beliefs, you know, of America, your life and my life will not be valuable anymore. It'll be the collective. It'll be, you know, for the sake of the greater good.
Sure.
You know, and it's sort of like we talked about in our previous program. You know, we heard the mayor of Baltimore, you know, not put down the curfew until the next day. And it sounded just like that movie, The Purge, that we didn't see, but we read about it and saw the trailer to it, which lined it up. It's like, and the whole purpose of that was population control.
Yeah.
And so the answer to, I know that from some of the things that I appear to see, have seen with even the Clinton Initiative, when they go over to another country, one of the responses to how to help the people in these other countries is to put a big campaign on about birth control. I meant to control, stop having babies.
Wow.
And, you know, in the life of the baby that you have in your womb. And it's like the answer to life is not taking life.
Sure.
You know, the answer and that's the world's perspective. But as Christians, we're supposed to be going into all the world and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of God changes us from within. And because we're changed from within, wherever we go, we change what's outside. Inside out is how we're called to do it. Not to be transformed. Not to be conformed, I mean, to this world and these world systems, to be transformed by the Word of God. Governments and ideas and constitutions do not transform us, but the Word of God does that. And then when we show up, you know, we should be a blessing. We should be helping folks out. We're not a blessing to someone who's following Lucifer. It's never going to be. That's the one that's actually going to be persecuting you. But he says, as a matter of fact, he says it very specifically. What did Jesus say about the persecution?
Jesus said in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes in verse 11, says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Yeah, and so you're looking at, you know, that welcome to being a Christian. You know, and sometimes I mean, you see people that are doing things is like you're causing persecution because you're mean. You know, that particular person is just being hateful and mean, or self-righteous. You know, and they're not experiencing persecution because they're walking through the streets, loving on people, healing brokenhearted people, sharing the love of God with them. You know, eating with people that people won't eat with, and you know, that's not why they're being persecuted. They're being persecuted because they're just hateful. You know, there's like screaming and hollering at folks. Mm-hmm. But if you're walking with God and you're just loving on people, doing the best you can, and you're being attacked for that. It's not a negative thing. But you may lose followers on your Facebook. You know what I'm saying? You may lose
a couple friends.
I mean, if they don't stand with you and they call themselves a Christian and you're standing up for Christ, you're just not. That wasn't your friend.
Right.
It was not your friend. And I just want to pray with you now because you're looking what's coming up over the horizon. We have somebody who's saying, I want to be the leader of the country. And I think that deep-seated religious beliefs have to change. You know, and this is the future. And, you know, I personally am not going to change my faith in Jesus Christ. And
I'm not.
I'm going to embrace the Lord. And I love the fact that the Constitution gives us the right to be able to do that. And I just hope that whoever, you know, that we as a people chooses to be a leader of our country will actually love the country and love God and love our Constitution. And let's just pray right now. Father God, we just ask you, Lord, that you would save America. Lord, forgive us for what we have allowed to take place, God. And
yes, Lord.
Lord, help us, God, that, you know, where we have done things that's brought, you know, shame to the cross and to what true relationship is to you, God, and that where we've turned to government instead of turning to you, and now government's trying to turn those who follow you. Lord God, I pray right now, Lord God, that you would change everyone's heart that are wanting to be able to lead this country, Father God, that they would be ones that love you, that love your word, that love the Constitution, Lord, and that honor your word and honor you and honor the Constitution. Lord, help us, God, not go this way, Father God. We ask and we just pray for the persecuted church, Lord, that you would just comfort them, protect them, prevent these things from happening, Lord God, and save them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We'll see you on the next program. We're going to be talking more about, you know, the persecuted church with Jonathan Kahn. Make sure you catch it.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an something, and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, as a witness to them letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?